Praise the Lord. Amen. See, that's what a true church is like right there. That's the true church people. America has become soft. We become weak. We let a rainstorm stop us from coming to church. We let climate change stop us from coming to church. We let little things stopping us from coming to church and coming together in fellowship. Look what they're doing. 120 degrees in it. Could you imagine churches today, if we allowed 120 degrees inside, how many people would stay? But you saw it firsthand right here. But see, God's at work. That's why I'm excited, because God is at work throughout the world. It isn't just China. He's at work in every nation of the world, and he's calling a church that is without spot or wrinkle. But I tell you what, those people were totally into worship and the preaching of the word. And I really, you know, don't get scared, but I tell you what, that preaching from 8:30 to 7 in the evening, kind of, it's enticing. And not just one day. They told him, come back tomorrow, then the next day, and the next day. Praise the Lord. I wanted you to see that, not to bring condemnation, but to challenge your and my hearts to want to give God our best, to realize we're living in serious times, that we need to come forward and we need to give God our time and our talents and our gifts and give him all. We need to be out in the streets and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. That's what we need to be doing. We cannot be holding back. We're in a day of this earth right now where we need to be on fire for Jesus. We need not compromise our walk with the Lord. We need not compromise our witness. When you're standing in circumstances and the world is giving garbage, you give them the word of God right back, not being fearful of it, not being ashamed of it, but stand for what you believe and allow the Holy Spirit to move through you and to move upon the people that you are ministering to, and watch what God does in your life. That's what God wants us to be about, his business, to touch a lost and dying world. And not only that, we need to be encouraging each others to be on fire for the Lord, to have God's desire for a lost world. Amen? That's what we saw in that film. They're hungry for God. They're thirsty for God. They're on fire for God. People are getting saved by the multitudes. Literally getting saved, because they're standing for what they believe in that nation and other nations too. Even way back when I was in the Ukraine, I remember when we passed out Bibles, we had over 400 people in there, and they rushed to the front and they just crowded in, and they're trying to take us over, and we were handing Bibles out, and they went back to their chairs and they sat there and they wept because they had a Bible. And that's like the Chinese people. Most of them don't even have Bibles. They're hungry. They're so hungry for the Word of God. Why is it the longer we walk with the Lord, we lose that hunger and thirst? Why is that? It shouldn't be. We should be more and more hungry for Jesus. The more we know of him, the more we get him in our life, the more on fire we should be, and the more intent we should be on wanting to reach a lost and dying world. Amen? I don't want any entertainment. I don't need strobe lights and fire shooting out of the altar to get me excited about Jesus. I need to read the Word and find out who my Master is right in here. And I get fired up every time I read the Word of God, because he's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. Amen? Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you and we love you and we praise you and we glorify you. And Lord, there's some that aren't here this morning because of situations in their life. And Vern's wife, Linda, I know hasn't been feeling well. And Father, we would lift her up right now and would ask that your anointing would be upon her and the healing power of Jesus flow through her. And lessen Renee. I know Renee's dad, Lord, I heard was close to dying. And Father, I pray that you're with that family right now and that the Holy Spirit will give them peace and comfort during this troubled time in their life, Father. We pray for them, Lord, that your anointing would be there and that they would sense your presence and power. And now, Lord, we thank you for being here, our mighty God, within this building today. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for being with us today and touching each one of us, Father, through your Holy Spirit and by your word, Father. We glorify you. We commit this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Were we having Sunday school today? Yes. We aren't?
We are.
We are? Well, let's come up here, children, and I want to give an individual prayer for you, too. This is so beautiful, isn't it, these young people? Huh? These also are God's creation.
Amen.
Did you know that? Did you know that? God created you in His image. Did you know that? And He loves you. He loves you more than you can ever comprehend. And He's here today, and He wants to speak into your hearts, doesn't He? Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You for these young people. Lord, You've created them for a purpose and a reason. And Father, we pray that You would guide us as a body of believers to encourage and direct these young people to Jesus. Even as they walk past us, Father, that we smile at them and let them know that they're loved and that Jesus Christ loves them and died on a cross for them also. And Lord, I pray that Your anointing be with Sandra today in that room, Lord, and that it just will unify these young people together, and that You will give her the wisdom and the knowledge to give the right words at the right time and the right mannerism to let the children see that Jesus is truly here, speak into their hearts. And we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. And everybody in here said,
amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. You may go. Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed Teen Challenger last week? Praise the Lord. They responded by two thank you letters. And they were truly blessed, and that was our prayer, that when they got here, that not only they bless us, but that we could be a blessing to them. And one of the biggest things they said about this congregation, that by several of them, not the ones that were up here also, but also the leadership, was that they couldn't believe how friendly we were, and they were just a sense that they've truly felt loved in this church. And I was talking to the young ladies as I was walking through the lunch thing, and I was telling them, you come back anytime you want. And the one turned around and she said, I've never felt such love in a church as I have Crossfire. She said, this is the best church I've ever sung in my whole life. And the others said, yes, yes. So continue to allow God to move through us as a body, amen? Let's continue to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit moving supernaturally in our body, that whoever comes through those doors will never, ever leave not saying they weren't loved, not only by Jesus, but by us, the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Are we living in the last days? How many believe we're living in the last days today? Wow, that's almost all of us here, isn't it? Some of you just didn't do it on purpose, but I mean, wow. I think we are too. We're living in the last days. One of the signs is going to be the ridicule of the Lord's second coming. And I know I've said this before. I remember being a young Christian, how a Baptist pastor in my home said, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. Been saying it for 2,000 years and He hasn't come yet. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first. And by the way, first there means first of all or of primary importance. That's why Peter put that in there. That there shall become a day, come in the last day, scoffers walking after their own lust. That means they're motivated by self-interest and will be unconcerned about God's purposes. Even within the church. They're more concerned about self-interest. They're more concerned what's going on in their life and why they shouldn't be here or come to church or serving God or whatever. But then it goes on and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And did you know that most of the world is looking for to bring a world system based on evolutionary humanism today? That's what they're doing, rather than looking for the Lord's return to His creation. Humanism is coming into the world thick and heavy. And we must not set dates. You know, I always get amazed by people's set dates. Jehovah's Witness has been doing it. They did it two or three times and were wrong every single time. You'd think people would say, hey, you guys are a bunch of phonies. But God told us not to set dates, but yet even in our generation where we're at today, we still have cornballs who set dates. When God said he is the only one, Jesus said, my Father is the only one that knows. Why are they setting dates? He told us we know the day and the season that we're in, right? But not a day or an hour. And we must not set dates. Yet these aspects of the last days are, they're sure more characteristic of our own times than any before. Things are happening that have never, ever happened the way they're happening as they are in our day and age that we live right now. And many of them all at once. People, we are closer to the coming of the Lord than any other generation. And just getting up, coming in here this morning even made us closer. Jesus is coming. He's coming. But literally, we are closer than any other generation. People joke about the second coming and the rapture today, and even comedians have routines making fun of it. I don't know if you ever heard any, but here's one that I found on the radio broadcast on one of the BBC stations by a panel of Church of England theologians who scoffed at those who expect an imminent return of Christ. One of them said, these people have been waiting for 2,000 years now, and each generation keeps looking for Jesus to return in their generation. Sneeringly, he said, but Jesus always lets them down. He never comes. Isn't that ridiculous? Don't you remember Noah? It happened, didn't it? They mocked Noah and made fun of his family all the while he was building that old ark, but it did happen. The rains came. But you know something? Jesus did come the first time, didn't he? Remember the Bethlehem story? Well, they mocked even before that, but Jesus finally came. He did keep his word, and he came. And it's the same way in our lifetime right now. Jesus is going to come, whether we believe it or not. Doesn't make any difference whether we believe it or not. He is going to come. He's coming. He's coming. But you know something? What this person didn't realize is that he was part of the scoffer in fulfillment of prophecy whenever they scoff. And here's the bad news is that many professing Christians are capitulating to culture and abandoning the holy and wholesome ways of the Lord today. Even in our own culture here. Listen to this. Rob Bell, once a pastor of one of the largest churches in the world, has now made it completely clear that he and the Bible differ when it comes to marriage and homosexuality. Go with the culture, he says. Stay relevant. You ever hear that word lately? Dismiss the outdated biblical evidence. This is his words. And listen to your emotions. Didn't he read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, he did. Sadly to say, he didn't. But see, emotions, people, they change with the wind. You walk in the church here in the morning sometimes, and your emotions change before you leave. And he's telling us to listen to our emotions instead of God's word. Once a pastor who, knowing the goodness of God, is saying, don't believe what the word of God says anymore. Rely on your emotions. And it's not just him, people. There's others doing the same thing that were once preaching the gospel who no longer preach the word of God, but they go in their own ways and they are more concerned about the culture than what the word of God says. And then we have the reestablishment of Israel and the return of the Jews to Israel from all over the world. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 and 34 says, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Whew. I think we better start reverencing our God too, huh? See, the prophecy looks beyond the Babylonian captivity to the eventual worldwide dispersion of the Jews, from which countries God's angels will gather them back to the promised land after the great tribulation. That's going to be some sight, isn't it? You can find that in Matthew chapter 24, 31. The angels are actually going to bring them back into the land. That's going to be something. I'm sure there's enough angels, right? There will be. Again, in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 24, for I will take from you among the heathen and gather you out all of the countries and will bring you into your own land. Again, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 through 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros, from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Wow. See, these are perhaps some of the most amazing prophecy in the Word of God, this part right here. It's amazing. A nation that has been gone, and God's bringing it back. And, you know, you can find several other prophecies and places in the Old Testament speaking more on it. But until the early 1900s, the reestablishment of Israel seemed to be absolutely preposterous. It wasn't going to happen. And in 1900, Hebrew was a dead language spoken by no one in the world. It was not spoken. Jews were scattered all over the world, and virtually only a handful were in the Holy Land. All of Palestine was under the complete control of Muslim Palestinian Arabs. However, in 1948, the United Nations established a homeland for the Jews, and since that time, of millions of Jews from every corner of the earth have returned to live there. And that's happening even while we're sitting here today. I remember when I was in Odessa, Ukraine. When we were ministering there, we were ministering to Jewish people. They were preparing to move to Israel on a ship. They had a ship. They took us there. Their ship was right there, and there were Jews going onto it. They fell, and we asked some of them, why are you going back to Israel? And their response, we don't really know why. We just feel that call that we need to go back to Israel. It's pretty awesome. And just 7 days ago, Netanyahu, again, he urges mass immigration of Jews from Europe. Just 7 days ago. God is on the move, people. He's calling his people. That's one of the prophetic things that's happening during your and my lifetime, and it's still going on. And there are many prophecies about the blossoming of Israel when the Jews return that we could look at throughout Scripture here. And by the way, guess what the spoken language is in Israel today? Hebrew. It's back. All the ites aren't there, but the Jews are. And then we have Jesus' prediction in Matthew chapter 24 of the events during the tribulation and before the glorious appearing. It says in Matthew chapter 24, 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And that word world there means the age, the present world. The Lord actually gives several signs of his coming, but probably the most important sign that I thought was in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, where it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's going to be an incredible sight for this earth, isn't it? When they see Jesus coming. He's coming as a judge. He's coming as a judge to judge the world. And people got to understand that we need to reverence this God. He's not coming as a little baby. He's not coming back as a savior. He's coming as a judge. I'm going to look at four signs of the tribulation and see if there's any similarities in our day today. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Is that happening today? Yeah. I heard just, I think it was about 2 months ago, roughly. I was listening to a guy down in Florida that claims to be Jesus Christ. His church is packed, and people are selling their homes, and they're giving him their money and their cars and the deeds to their properties and everything. And the guy, that when they interviewed him on their thing, he said that there's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as a judgment upon people for sin. And there's not a heaven and there's not a hell. We're going to make this the heaven right here and claim to be the Christ. This is in our modern day time, people. And those were businessmen when they panned the audience. I mean, there were wealthy people in there and young and old. And they were praising this guy while he was talking. It was on TV. I watched it. That's only one of them. There's many of them that are claiming to be Christ, even in the days that you and I live. Jesus said that's going to be a sign of his second coming. Also in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many. And this prophecy has abundantly and is being fulfilled even now and in recent years. There is so much deception going on in our world right now. It's unbelievable. It's happening in our government. It's happening in our nation. It's happening around the world. And it's happening within the church. We're watching it, people. We are here watching that prophecy being fulfilled. Multitudes are being deceived in the world and within the church right now as you and I sit here. And today is the greatest period of worldwide religious deception in the history of the world. I can't believe it. I never thought it would be this way. I cannot believe, especially, as I said earlier, pastors who once preached the gospel turning away from it, deceiving their congregations. It's unbelievable. We see many self-styled Christs sowing confusion in our world today. There are more cults and false religions today more than ever. Where is the body of Christ? Where is the body of Christ? What are we doing as the church out in our world today as the world is drawing closer and closer to the coming of the Lord? What impact are we having upon our culture and society? Matthew chapter 24, 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. See, the war will be a terrible feature of the tribulation period. But even today, prior to the tribulation, the daily headlines are about wars and rumors of wars all over the world, aren't they? We hear daily. And even today, it's coming. They're even threatening now Mall of America, a group I heard on the news this morning. Every day, wars and rumors of war. And I was reading, I looked it up, and there's about 41 small and large wars going on at this time right now while we're here this morning. 41 wars around the world. Matthew 24, 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And again, remember that these things will happen during the tribulation period. But they are things that people are at one time thought were all vanished, that we were going to get rid of wars, we were going to get rid of famines and all these things. That's always been the goal, hasn't it, that we hear about, that they would vanish in our lifetime. At the turn of the 20th century, it was widely thought that war would become a thing of the past. Two world wars and hundreds of smaller wars of nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, just in the 1900s, it's extinguished that idea permanently. And notice nations and kingdoms, ordinary local wars, people, ordinary local wars would not constitute a sign since they've always been taking place anyway. The war would be accompanied by a widespread famine and pestilence and earthquakes. The initial sign would be a widespread war with many nations and kingdoms involved on each side. What's happening in our world today? We're involved in a worldwide war. It's affecting every nation upon the planet right now. It's infiltrating and it's getting worse and worse by the day almost. We see what's happening in the news. But every nation is being infiltrated with war. We're fighting radical Islamic Muslims right now throughout the world. And they're infiltrating. Other groups are rising up, like the one that's supposed to attack Mall of America. New ones are rising up in every nation, Copenhagen this last few days. All over the world, we're having problems because these people are infiltrated throughout just about every nation of the world to try to take over and make this an Islamic world. Boy, I tell you, that sounds pretty much like a sign to me. Do you think there's people around the world who are saying, I wish somebody could take care of this and stop it? See, we live in the day of the greatest period of food production in history, yet scientists tell us that developed countries actually only have about 1 year supply of food. And we think, well, that could never happen in America, couldn't it? Couldn't it? Could you imagine if we have attacks within our malls or within churches and in different places start happening in America, and how trucks and railroads stop hauling food to different cities around the country and everything? How fast would the grocery stores start emptying out? Pretty fast, and it would cause riots within the streets. Much would happen, and we're at that time. We're at the time, chaotic time, where that is happening in other nations right now. Even without worldwide catastrophe that are prophesied for the tribulation period, the world is still plagued by famines in various parts of the world. Even what ISIS did over in Syria, brothers and sisters of ours, many of them, forced up into the mountains, were starving to death. In Africa, there's people starving to death. All around the world, there's famines going on. How much more terrible is it going to be when the tribulation is in full force? Can you imagine? See, the reference to earthquakes also in divers, meaning several, many, various places, is interesting. A study of Revelation shows that there will be several earthquakes during the tribulation, and at least two are going to be on a worldwide scale. Those are going to be some mean earthquakes, aren't they? They shake the whole earth, not just one region of the earth. Scientists tell us that is exactly what we are seeing in the world today. And I looked up, since the year 1900, every year since, we've had 14,000 earthquakes a year. 14,000 a year. Last year it was like 14,681 earthquakes in the world. And is what's interesting, what the scientists are looking about these earthquakes as they're intensifying. They're getting bigger and bigger. They're doing more damage when they're hitting. And tribulation, in the tribulation time, it talks about the worldwide one that's going to hit. Mark 13:8 adds the word troubles. Luke 21:11 adds, fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. It's going to be a fearful time. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And people, we're watching that today too. And these are events that are going to be with us as we enter into the tribulation period. These are the things that I'm talking about are taking place as we go in and will be during the tribulation period. Remember again that Jesus is here. He's referring to the tribulation. And we're seeing these signs right now where we're at. How soon is Jesus coming back is my question to myself and you. How soon do you think he's coming back if we're watching the beginning stages of what's going to be happening during the tribulation period, even at a greater rate? However, we see that this prophecy, it's already evident today. It's already evident. Listen to this. Many strong denominations in years gone by once preached the gospel fearlessly. And here, this is Rob Bell's wife, Kristen Bell. This is her part that she spoke when he was interviewed. Explained that some churches are just not getting with the program. There are churches who are moving forward, she said, and there are churches who are almost regressing and making it more of a battle. And then she goes on and says, how antiquated, how backwards, how embarrassing. How dare these churches entrench themselves against the onslaught of worldly culture? How dare they continue to resist the redefining of marriage and the rewriting of the sacred scriptures? Didn't she read this? Didn't she read it? That's what's happening today. That's why, people, I'm telling you, I'm warning you. Whatever Bible you're using, make sure it's a Bible that has got the Word of God in it. Because there's Bibles out there that are worthless, that are so full of deception and have been changed. Wording's been changed. Meanings have been changed just by moving words, taking words out. Whole verses are moved in many Bibles today. All these new translations, I'd be weary of them. And some pastors might say, boy, you're really paranoid, pal. You bet I am. Because I know what happens if we add to or subtract from this word what God says in Revelation. We have to be aware of it. And I don't mind being standing here telling, because I have to answer to God everything I tell you, and I don't mind standing up here telling you, check out your Bibles, people. You can do that online. You can bring them up and find out what the difference is in your Bibles. Just don't accept the Bible because, this thing's really easy to read. Wow. Well, maybe it's easy to read because the Holy Ghost is no longer, Spirit is moving on it when you're reading it. I mean, there's Bibles take the Lord, the name Lord, the name Jesus, the word Holy Ghost. They've removed the word blood. They've removed a lot of things, and a lot of Christians aren't even aware of it, and a lot of Christians don't even care because they don't read them anymore. I care because the Bible says that I live by every word. Every word, not some of them. The Lord told me I live by every word that is in here. That's why I want to have a Bible that I know I can trust. And you got to take that initiative yourself. I can't make you do it. I'm only telling you. I'm warning you right up. There's false Bibles out there today, people. You got to research them out. And then she says, how dare they hold fast to their position that God's ways are best? This is true stuff. How dare they not get with the program of liberal progressivism? Can you imagine where we're at in the world today, people, where they're preaching that now, that we're once preaching the gospel and we're hearing that spoken into the churches today? And what's happening within the churches today? All the things that are happening, and it's like God's people are falling asleep and their hearts are grow cold. They don't even care. Is all they want to do is be entertained? Well, I'll tell you what, God is an awesome God, and His Word is true, and it's never going to change. It's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and His Word is Jesus. Amen. His Word is Jesus. Amen. See, many are allowing liberalism in today, denying the inspiration of Scripture, the deity of Christ, and the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. Some are teaching through works now, too. To make this the kingdom of God. Not looking for Jesus, but many of these churches are encouraging that we can make this a better place through community. No, there's never going to be peace on this earth. Never. There's never going to be peace on it. Not until the Prince of Peace comes back. That's when we'll have peace. And the kingdom is not going to be this corrupt world. It's going to be a new world that Jesus Himself recreates, where there'll be no more wars, no more famines, no more heartache, no more disruption, no more Muslim, Islamic radicals going around beheading and killing and burning and crucifying people or any other people as far as that goes. It's going to be a world that is totally peaceful because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be in charge. And that's the one we need to be looking for. And I feel sorry for people who are left in these cold, deceived churches that have become lifeless. Even many Bible-believing churches are filled with carnal, world-loving Christians whose intense passion for the Lord has cooled down. I do, people. I know people who are once so on fire for God that when you get together with Him, you could fellowship about Jesus. You could get excited and dance with Jesus. You know, just getting excited and jump up and put your hands in the air and say, praise God, and get excited fellowshipping about Jesus. But those guys, some of them I know today, they will walk away. They'll walk away. And Jesus is the most exciting and thrilling thing that you could ever fellowship about. Because there's something that when you have true fellowship, it does something in your spirit. It does something in your spirit. That's why when you miss church, you miss church. I normally don't say to people within the church, I missed you last Sunday. I do say it, but in reality, I try not to say it a lot because I like to say, you missed church last Sunday. I don't know from your experiences, but I know through my life, my wife and I through years too, when we missed church have been the night, when been the day or the morning or the evening when it seemed like the Lord moved the most when we were gone. Oh, I wish we would have been there. You ever been there? The movie wasn't that great anyway. Can you imagine the spiritual iciness that will pervade during the tribulation period when the Holy Spirit is not working and moving? And God's people are taken out in the rapture and before the revival of the 144,000 witnesses. Can you imagine the tribulation period? It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. It's going to be horrible. And a worldwide breakdown in morality. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And people, when I read through this list, just think about this. Just think about it. What God is saying here when this was written. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Even our own president showed a picture of national television with his selfie stick. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Is that happening in our world today, people? God says to turn away from that stuff. Run from it. It'll destroy you. But all of these things that God listed here, we're watching multiplied in the world that we live today. In this last week, I'm not even going to mention it because we do have some young ears in here yet. But I'm listening to what is happening in some schools over on the West Coast of what they're being taught today. And it's unbelievable that adults would even want that stuff in the schools. Even that there would be teachers that would be willing to teach it to young ears. It's unbelievable. And it's going to get darker and darker. Are we in the last days today? I believe we are. These are signs that are coming and they're growing. The birth pangs are coming closer and closer together. And then we have the increase in knowledge in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." What epitomizes modern day life better than any? "Many shall run to and fro." Doesn't that seem like the world we live in today? Today we have moved from horses to railroads to autos to airplanes to spaceships. Think how fast technology changes today. How many of us would have thought you would have had a computer in your home 30 years ago? How many of us thought a CD was some kind of money market investment 30 years ago? Instead of something you put in a player to play music with. When was the last time you met somebody who actually used a record player, an 8-track player? Some of our younger people wouldn't even know what those are. How many of us used to think it was amazing to have 13 whole channels on your TV? How many of us were using mobile phones just 5 years ago? How many of us even knew what the internet was 30 years ago, much less used it? You know, I could go on and on and on, but you get the point, don't you? Knowledge is increasing rapidly, and it's doubling and quadrupling, and it's going faster and faster the further we go forward. And people are running to and fro. And then there's worldwide talk of peace in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And they shall not escape. Peace, peace, peace is even a mantra. Even in the midst of what's happening today, that's a mantra today. The day of the Lord will burst suddenly on an unsuspecting world at a time when there is great worldwide concern with peace and safety. The world's looking for someone who can bring peace from the disordered chaos of this world. And they are looking, people. They're looking. The world is ripe for someone to step in and say, I've got an answer to the Middle East problems. The world's ripe for it. And someday a man will arrive on the scene who will seem to bring peace to that war-torn part of the world by arranging a 7-year agreement with Israel, supposedly bringing peace to the Middle East. But it will only be calm before the storm. This single act is what the Bible tells us will initiate the 7-year tribulation. And we could be right up to the brink of that happening right now. Israel is surrounded by its enemies right now. Everyone, even the United States, to a point, has turned its back upon Israel. That little bitty piece of real estate is standing all by itself pretty much in the world. There's got to be a God up there, right? I know there's a God up there that's protecting that little piece of real estate right there. And you know what's unique about it? I always think it's really incredible because the world can't figure this stuff out. But God, you know, our wisdom is, you know, it's foolishness. They don't understand that God is going to be setting up his throne there in that little piece of real estate. I don't know why God loves that little piece of real estate the way he does, but that he's interested in it, and nobody's going to take it away from him. Nobody. But they're trying. I heard this morning that, or I was reading this morning, Abinadab, the guy who has been out of limelight for a long time, is coming back into the news now. He's coming into the forefront, and they want to know why he's coming back. And some are theorizing that maybe the nuclear bomb is ready in Iran now, so they can take out Israel. We don't know. But I tell you what, people, get ready. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Things are happening at a fast rate of speed. And then you have the technology for a world dictator to control the world. In Revelation chapter 13, 1-3, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. And that's not water, by the way. That's a humanity, the sea of people. And I saw a beast, the Antichrist, rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, which represents empires, and 10 horns, which represents nations. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, which is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Satan's always trying to duplicate Jesus, even the resurrection. He'll never be able to do what God did. Revelation 13, 4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And here we see the Antichrist. He's going to be so powerful. He's going to be so powerful that militarily that potential opponents ask, who is able to make war against him? Did you know, I was from Jeffers' video we watched last Sunday night. It was interesting. Did you know that the United States right now has enough weapons here, nuclear weapons right now, that they can destroy the whole world 18 times over? Did you know that Russia today, while I'm standing right here, has enough weaponry, nuclear power right now to destroy the world 29 times over? Think about that, people. Revelation 13, 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Power over all kindred, languages, and nations. And it was inconceivable years ago, wasn't it? But now we can see it. Today we got computers that provide instant worldwide communication. Satellites can watch our every move. I can do that from home. I can bring my house up even right now on my phone on Google and zero in on my home where I live right now and bring and look at my yard. I can do that. And I'm not a rocket scientist. The tools for a big brother government are in place, people. No other generation could say that. That's why I know we're moving into the last days quickly, if not already begun. And no other generation could say that every nation in the world can be linked together within seconds. Anything that happens across the country right now, within seconds, is beamed across the world right now. Instantly. All of the pieces are in place, people. It's happening before our very eyes. We need to be ready and alert, and we got to wake up, and we got to quit playing games within the church. Jesus is coming. I'm talking about the rapture. I'm not talking us hanging around in this tribulation stuff. Praise God. There's no need for us to be there. God didn't call us to wrath. I'm almost done. I could go on and on, actually, if I really want to bring all the things that are happening, but I won't do that today anyway. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16, technology, all banking and commerce. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name. Interesting, isn't it? The mark of the beast, which will be universally required for all transactions, will ensure loyalty to the beast, but will also assure an eternal destination in hell who accepts it. Anybody who accepts that will not go to heaven. They can't change their mind once they have it here or here, according to Scripture. But suffice to say that no one seriously doubts that technology is not available for someone to control all banking and commerce, from ATMs to internationally linked banking systems to microchips to biochips right now. We are now using implanted chips in animals to help find those who are missing. Amy, your dog's got them in, doesn't he? Little bark or a radar. The little dude's got a chip in him. They can find that little sucker if he jumps on a plane and flies over to Russia. And he'll be on radar, literally. Several nations, such as the Netherlands, already have a national identification card linked to a national database. Serious governmental proposals have been made in several counties. I just heard this just this week, too, about this part. Made in several countries, including the United States, to implement a national ID card. Advocates of the U.S. proposal suggest a biochip be part of the actual card to be used to maintain a personal, medical, and financial record of every person in the U.S. We got the possibility to do that. It's all in place. They can do it anytime they want right now. Some even go so far as to suggest that to prevent a lost or stolen card, the biochip should be implanted in the hand for convenience. That's how they're going to sell it, people, just like how we receive everything right now. We love the internet because it's so convenient. We love our cell phones and all the things because they're so convenient. But look at the filth that comes over them. Look at the destruction within homes and churches and people's lives because of those internet and the telephone. But in the same regards, look at the blessings that come out of it, too. In fact, there was a television program, a commercial in Colorado a few years ago, sponsored by MasterCard, showing a woman in a white room with a mark on her finger. In this commercial, MasterCard advocated an under-the-skin biochip to store all personal and financial records. See, there's several magazines and articles. You can go into the magazine store, you can buy them, and you can read all about this stuff. It's in place now. It's happening. It's there, people. We're ready. We are the generation and watch all this stuff coming to pass. This is not stuff of the future. This is technology. It's available now. Jesus is coming. Let's all stand, please. Jesus is coming. As I look at the world in crisis, it's natural to wonder what's going to happen next. Don't you do that every morning? You turn on the news. What's going to be happening today? Huh? I mean, there's things that are happening so fast in our world because, see, God has got a timetable. We don't know what that timetable is, but He does. And one day He's going to say, it's done. Enough is enough. I'm coming. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'd say we're worse than Noah right now when I look at our world. What should people do when they see these things taking place? Matthew 24, 42. God did this because he loves us so much. He's warning us, people. Let's not stay asleep. Let's not just stay asleep and walk out and go about our business. Let's take every day and realize that Jesus is coming. And every opportunity you have, share the gospel. Tell somebody the good news that Jesus died on a cross and they don't have to experience. If somebody comes up and you say, boy, the world's really getting terrible, isn't it? You can say, yeah, but I know what's going to happen. Would you like to know? And then tell them. Matthew chapter 24, 42 and 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. He's coming. And what I've covered today is for his second coming, but the rapture is what's coming for the Christian. It could happen today, this moment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. With every head bowed. Is there anybody in here that say, boy, I'm just not ready. I don't know what to do to get ready, and I'm scared, and I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody in here like that? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Is there anybody? The Holy Spirit is moving in this place right now. There's Christians in here right now that you haven't taken this seriously. You haven't been watching the way you need to. And you and I, as the body of Christ people, you and I need to be watchful people. We need to be aware what's going on around us within the church, without the church, out of the church, and with what's happening in the world. Not that we need to be doomsday people looking around for bad things to happen. They just happen naturally, but we need to put it in place to the scripture, and that we need to rejoice and look up, for our redemption draws nigh. How many would lift your hand with me and say, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. And I need to be, how many with lifted hands would say, I need to be looking harder? Huh? That's me. I need to be looking harder for Jesus. I need to know that he's coming. I need to be every day aware how I treat people. You can put your hands down. Do you know that some of us, that we don't treat people decently? Do you know we don't treat people decently in our own homes sometimes? Do you know that we don't treat people decently in our churches? That we don't love the body of Christ the way we should? And did you know that we go around and we gossip about our brothers and sisters in Christ? And we should be keeping our eyes on the sky and preparing our hearts, guarding our hearts, and realizing that we aren't saved by our works, but we're to represent Christ in how we live our lives and how we treat each other, how we love each other as the body of Christ. People, I'm warning you, Jesus is going to come in a time when you least expect it. If there's something in your life right now that you're hiding, that only you and God knows about, you better repent of it and get rid of it before it's too late, because Jesus is coming. Because once he sounds the trumpet and he says, come up, it's too late. It's too late. And I'm going to ask one more time, is there anybody in here say, I need to repent of things in my life? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. I see that. I'm not going to embarrass you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that touches our lives and convicts our hearts. And Lord, I thank you that you're even doing that this morning. And Father, I pray right now that each one of us here, the ones who did raise their hand, the ones who didn't, if there are those that should have, Father, I'll let you be the convictor of them, not the condemner, because you don't condemn, you convict. And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I would ask that we would turn away from the things that can destroy us for all eternity. what we watch, what we think, what we do that's contrary to what your word says. And Lord, you didn't put do's and don'ts in the Bible. You put warning signs in the Bible so that we would not go off the cliff and kill ourselves for all eternity. And you sent Jesus to make that possible, that we could just come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And you said that you are faithful and just to forgive when we ask it. And Lord, I pray that over these people right now, that if there be anything in their life that they ask for forgiveness, and you're just and faithful to forgive them. And Lord, you're so loving and so kind to us that you put warning signs in the Bible and told us, don't go that way, don't do this, don't do that, that they'll destroy your soul for all eternity. What a loving Heavenly Father you are. And Father, we as the body of Christ and the people within this room right now, we tell you, Lord, that we love you. And we praise you, Father, and we glorify you. And now, Lord, I pray that you would, by your mercy and your grace, that you would continue to move in our lives. And Lord, that you will touch each household that's represented in here. And Lord, that you would meet their needs financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And that you would continue to do a supernatural work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you mightily. Go have some beautiful fellowship. Hug somebody. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you love them in Jesus' name. Tell them you're excited about Jesus. Ask them if they know Jesus. Praise the Lord. I could keep going on. Yeah.